And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Game Face, Episode 7, right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is the gamer podcast that is designed to give you the other side of the gaming console. I am your host, Piper the DJ. As always, I do not come alone. Joining me, the Brits from across the pond, I have first Obi-Wan Jabroni. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. we've had a lot of heat. We've had a huge heat wave.
Heat wave.
Oh, yeah.
Ours just have calmed been down pretty today. Mild. Ours have been pretty mild. Yeah.
Well, apparently we got it from Washington. They sent it over. And, pretty much it's disappeared now. Hopefully we'll calm down
in
the next few days. But, yeah, we're just not used to it out here. So, you know. Apparently, yeah, I'm looking at the weather map. And yeah, it's coming back.
It's coming back. Get ready for some more heat and keep the lemonade or the cool tea ready to go afterward. Also joining us on the call today, the man who has more knowledge on independent wrestling than I could even care to shake a gaming controller at, PK Punk. Welcome back to the network, sir. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks very much for inviting me on. I've really enjoyed it. Last time I was on Game Face, so we can count down to get to do another one.
That's good. I tell you what, you know, it's one thing to be able to get together with people and talk about what's on your mind. It's another thing for everybody to be able to talk about somebody else's articles. Now, just to give everybody else, in case you were new or perhaps you've forgotten the format of Game Face, here's the way it is lined up. Getting involved with this show is not by invitation only. If you have an interest or any type of opinion or whatever, classification of gamer, I believe we've pretty much said, you know, anybody in their own right can be a gamer in any way, shape, or form. I don't personally play video games. I prefer playing games on my tablet or my Android device or even going out and playing a good old game of paintball and moving on from there. The goal is to bring in an article and then be ready to discuss not only your article, but everybody else's article and contribute 2 cents. We just go on from there, sharing opinions and maybe giving the opposite, perhaps, and some discussion opinion concerning the articles that are on people's minds, specifically people who play games. Now, out of a random drawing of the alphabet, O comes before P, so therefore, Obi-Wan Jabroni, I believe you have 3 articles. Just pick one and have at it, sir.
Okay, so I'll go with the GameStop one. This one's a bit old, to be honest. It's a few days, about a week old, but obviously, you know, us being us, we just kind of got together on this and going to discuss it. So, yeah, apparently GameStop, huge retailer in the States and other countries, is going to get in the exclusivity of game add-ons, apparently. And, I don't even know if it's apparently. I mean, I think it's a thing and, you know, pre-order from us and get this thing, you know. I don't know, we've already got this already. I mean, GameStop have those exclusive collectors or limited editions anyway. We've got the same deal here, and like, you're kind of seeing this anyway with pre-order from Kmart and get, Ultimate Warrior for WWE 2K14, for example. I mean, they were giving that out anyway, but I mean, you know, stuff like that. But I'm talking like exclusive locked away levels for GameStop. This is on a different level now we're talking, and you know, so would you guys pre-order a game just for that sort of stuff is what I really want to ask.
I personally saw this at one point in time and I didn't go for it myself.
Yeah.
I was that guy that what was it? It was back in the days of, might have been the original PlayStation or perhaps the original Xbox. I don't remember. It wasn't GameStop. It was KB Toys, which was, if I'm not mistaken, the parent company to GameStop before KB Toys fell on hard times. They had, like, Street Fighter II had special content, you know, their specialized box sets. It wasn't something that appealed to me, but on the flip side of that, Obi, what if they came out with a Snake box set? Okay? Or yeah. I could look at Brian from Toons and ask him, what if they came out with a Master Chief box set? Or I could look at Joe from Chicago and ask if they came out with a Black Ops box set. You know, would that incline them? Now, where it might not entice me, it could entice somebody else who's, like, really diehard into a particular game. PK, off to you, sir.
To be honest, I so rarely pre-order games now. There's not really a lot which tempts me to do it. I'm pre-ordered Destiny, but that's purely just because I've been playing the beta and I've genuinely really enjoyed it. So I thought, okay, I'll pre-order the game. And I've pre-ordered the WWE 2K15 game just because I always get the WWE games on the day they come out. But it doesn't really play into my decision, like what bonuses and what add-ons I'm going to get, because I just want to play that core game experience. And like especially like the UFC game when that came out, like all this pre-order the game to get Bruce Lee, and then you can buy Bruce Lee from the Xbox and PlayStation store for a couple of pounds. So what was the whole point in doing the pre-order? You might as well wait until the game comes out, you see the rate, you see the reviews for one, and then buy the character if you want to play as that character, or wait for a price drop on the game, buy it, and then buy the character.
Yeah, I think what the story was, though, was pretty much GameStop pretty much having exclusive locked away content or levels or stuff like that. I think that was what the article was saying. So if you ordered, like, if you get the game from a different place, you wouldn't get that. I mean, now I don't know how long GameStop would have that exclusivity. But I mean, I think it's a bit shady. I mean, obviously, let's be honest. I mean, these places like GameStop and Game in the UK, I mean, most of the sales come from like secondhand games. Now, if you go back with Microsoft and their Xbox One, and they were saying at first, well, you can't play secondhand games, they were shitting it. You know, they were like, whoa, you know, if this is really true, we're screwed. Because that's most of our business gone. Let's say the PlayStation 5 comes out, or the Xbox 2, or whatever they call it, and they've decided, all right, you know what, that it didn't work first time. Let's not, you know, the second-hand games, they're not even going to work. GameStop and Game, they're out of business. They need something else to kind of entice people to go in there. And I think that's what the article was saying, was kind of why locked away features of the game or levels or whatever, you know, for GameStop. And GameStop are going to have to go to bed with a lot of developers, aren't they?
I think they would, yes. Flip side to that, though, would this be, I mean, obviously you're talking about extra content for everything that's out there, everything that they specialize in. We'll just stick with the Snake scenario, because I know Snake holds a special place in your heart, Obi. So let's just say that they come out with a Snake box set for pre-order.
Or like a special piece of content that you can't get in any piece of retail, another retailer. And you only can get it at Game, because Game tend to do this. They call it Game exclusives, i.e. for either add-on content or bonus content, or i.e. again, collector's editions.
So prime, with that
prime
in
example
mind,
of this, there was, there was Tekken Tag 2. It was exclusive. There was a collector's edition, only exclusive to game.
Right.
I had no other choice to get it from there. And it turned up at Zavvi at one point, I believe, too. So, they're not... Sometimes they're exclusive, sometimes they're not. But let's go back to the MGS thing, just because that makes sense. If they had a special piece of content that you can't get anywhere else, yes, that would entice me. Because if you can't get it anywhere else, what choice have I got?
Now, if they made that as like an a DLC upgrade, would that entice you as well? Let's say they come out with a MGS... 2K15XR or whatever, you know, just something. Seriously, it's the storyline could fit up next in the series, but it's got that extra, extra righteous content, you know, that you won't be able to get if you were just to order buy the game outright. You know, would that be enough to entice you? You know, hey, look, I've already spent $50 on the game. Okay, another $50 to get this content. I mean, you know, you've admitted it on this show before where you have every game in the series, even on a console that you've never owned.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
would something like this... I mean, I'm just trying to look at it from all sides of the coin, if possible, okay? So if you look at it from one side of the coin where, yeah, sure, Piper says, piss on it. But, I mean, Obi, you've got a lot of time already invested in Metal Gear Solid.
I've got a lot of time, and I've got a whole shelf dedicated to that series.
Yeah, see? So, I mean... would that be enough to entice you? And on flip side, PK, I mean, is there a game that you have in your repertoire for, you know, whether it be PC, Xbox, PlayStation, even your Vita, you know, a game that you are dedicated to where you almost have taken it to a religious level that you would go out of your way for just for that content, if for nothing else, just to say you have it?
To be honest, there's only two franchises that I'd even remotely consider doing that for. I hate this whole exclusivity to this thing anyway, just to get that point across. But Uncharted and Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, one's Sony, one's Microsoft, but they're my two favourite franchises on both those systems. So if there was some great bit of content, I'm not talking like multiplayer maps or whatever, like I'm talking like a whole like prequel story.
No.
Something that would like to fill the gap in between like Gears of War Judgment or Gears of War 3 and Gears of War on the Xbox One or Uncharted 3 or Uncharted 4, then I'd be tempted to pre-order it from a specific retailer because I love that universe and I want to get the most out of that universe. I'd still begrudge doing it because my feelings are the exclusivity side of things. But
yeah, do it under protest. Yeah, because I speaking of Gears of War, real quick, Gears of War 3. I remember game, you know, again retail over here had that whole exclusive Gears of War 3, and you remember this PK that console. They had that. That was exclusive to game. They had the collector's edition exclusive to them as well. You know. Stuff like that. It does annoy me as well, but I don't know. If it's a physical item with me and MGS, that's really cool, though, because that's kind of something like to show off on the shelf. A digital piece of content, yeah, that I get. You know, it is cool to have, but again, it's like my fear with that is, can I at one point buy this on PSN or Xbox Live Marketplace? That's what my whole fear with it is. Now, if it's a physical piece of item, I've less issue with it.
You're saying like a collector piece.
Yeah, because I remember I ordered Metal Gear Solid Revengeance from Game, and you got a steel case with it as well. You got the physical game, but you also got a really nice piece of, you know, swag. Kind of like, you know, and it was designed by one of the artists there as well. I thought that was really cool because it's kind of like something to display.
I've gone out of my way for that before. I'm sorry, PK?
I hate the whole digital special editions thing, which is like the latest craze. Is yes, you can buy a special edition of our game, you'll get an extra gun for multiplayer. Yeah,
Watch Dogs was very guilty of this.
What about if they had like a trinket or swag, as Obi likes to say, or some type of Uncharted. Oh, so let's say they have one of the ships.
Nathan Drake's belt buckle or something.
Yeah, the belt buckle. You know, something that is from the game that you typically can't get your hands on as an enticement. Something to separate that game out from another.
I've bought collector's editions of games because it's had something unique in there that I wanted.
Okay,
like, I bought the special edition of Assassin's Creed 3 because they had a really nice looking statue of Connor in there.
Okay, so the DLC none of us are really sold on, but for like the extra stuff, I mean, because I was big into Pokemon at one point in time, and I bought a Pokemon game because it had a little Pikachu key ring with it,
put that on your keys.
No, actually, I never put it on my keys.
I pre-ordered Mario Kart. Sorry to cut in, but I pre-ordered that game from Nintendo directly themselves because you get a T-shirt and a key ring.
Ooh, yeah. So I mean, as far as the DLC goes, I think we could agree, or the extra content. Sorry, it's not DLC; it's the extra content.
Extra shit.
I think we could agree that none of us are in favor on that, but we are all in support of like swag.
Junk.
We could go for junk. Yeah, junk. Stuff that say, "Hey, look what I got," or something of that nature.
You know. I think I might have said this on the Fire Ninja Games Hour Radio, cheap plug, but I think I said that the video game swag, I think if it's useful, like a key ring or a T-shirt, you're going to use it. I mean, if it's something like a GTA, you know, lockbox or something, who's going to use that, you know? But I think if it's something useful that you can show off or put on your keys, I think that's cool. Like, you know, if it's a cap or something, like a baseball cap. But, you know, again, there's a lot of video game stuff I'm not a fan of, like swag as well, because most of it's useless. I got, I remember I won a competition for Tecmo, the guys who do the Dead or Alive series and all those games. They sent me a pack of cards and a mouse mat, which I've no use for, because the mouse, I don't even use a mouse. I mean,
I mean,
the mouse mat was pretty kind of cool because it had a chick on it with a boobs out, you know, literally. I mean, it's cool, but I'm not going to use it. So.
The only collector's editions that I genuinely do really like, but I never seem to buy them full price, I always wait until the price comes down, is Blizzard do absolutely fantastic collector's editions.
Which version of Blizzard?
Formula.
Which Blizzards?
Yeah, they basically like StarCraft, World of Warcraft,
StarCraft.
Diablo
okay.
3.
The WoW and Diablos, yes. They generally do have a lot of good... Blizzard, you know, they've been around for a really long time. And it seems like they'll work on one game like World of Warcraft, and then they'll switch over and push StarCraft, and then they'll switch over and they'll push something else, and they'll switch back and they'll push Diablo, and they'll switch over and they'll push World of Warcraft. You know, and they seem to have a good thing going. Now, a lot of people put Blizzard under fire because they don't take one game series and drive it year after year after year after year after year. But... You know, they do have some cool... They've got some cool stuff, and they've got longevity in their storylines. Would you guys agree with that as well?
Yeah, definitely. The only PC game in the last 6 months I've put any major time in is Diablo 3. Because all the changes they made after the launch... The launch was a disaster. I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
But then the changes they made, getting rid of the real money auction house... really streamlined the game so the loot that you got was more useful to your character, was genuinely interesting changes, and me and my brother put so much time into that Reaper of Souls expansion, and that was just over the course of a couple of months.
Cool. Obi, anything else to say? This was your article. We're getting ready to move forward.
Oh, no. I think we've beaten that horse to death. So,
all right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've passed that around a couple times. PK, off to you. A discussion concerning the PS Vita, sir. Take the floor.
Yeah, I'm sticking, obviously, like, handheld gaming is always will be a very big discussion topic on this show. And I read an article quite recently, and it made some very good points, and the article was just titled, "Is the PlayStation Vita Dead?" And it brought up the sales figures. In fact, it's had a price drop in Japan, it's still not selling very well. It's got some great games on there, and the software attachment rate's very good, but trying to get the consoles into people's hands is causing a problem for Sony. And obviously, US sales haven't been stellar, neither of the UK. It's basically a PlayStation Portable style fiasco all over again. A couple of points on this one is, do you think Sony are just never destined to have a successful handheld console? And what do you think could actually save the Vita and give it a big sales push?
Obi, after you on this one.
Yes, to the I hate to bash Sony and the Vita. Mine sat right here next to me. But today, it's funny that we're actually talking about this, because today, there's a couple of games I like to play on PS3. I always log into these games every day, and it's Tekken and Soul Calibur. They're free to play. And, you know, I have to go to the console physically every single day just to kind of get my login bonus. But anyway, so I thought, you know what, this is stupid. So I remembered that, the Vita has remote play. You can use it for, like, if you're away from the console or whatever, and if you're in a different, just like the Wii U. Set it up, go through all the procedure and all that business. Come to find out that when I boot up the games on the Vita, by the way, it does work pretty flawlessly, remote play. It said to me, this content cannot be played by remote play. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. They've got remote play on this thing, on this device, but you're not going to let me, you know, remote play these. Now, there's a list out there that certain games work on this remote play and that you can use, like a Wii U screen. Unfortunately, it's a very small, it's probably 1%, 1% to 2%. That these games work, and it was just frustrating to me, because I thought, you know what, it's such a nice piece of kit, you know, the handheld. I think if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you're pretty much set for life for games. I mean, they give I don't know, PK, but do they give away games on still?
Yeah, there's been some pretty good PlayStation Vita games given away recently, and the indie support on the platform is excellent at the moment. Like, the indie developers are really making the most out of it, which is why I still own one, if I'm 100% honest. I'm not aiming anything else. And you get to play all these indie titles that I don't have to go and boot the PC up or mess around, so hook my PS3 back up again just to play them.
Yeah, but I think the remote play, they really need to sort out. They just need to open that sucker up and just let loose on it, because I think there's a lot of people in my situation that would love that, because I can't be near the PlayStation 3 all the time. And just to have, if I'm away from it, just to have that support, that if I can play Tekken somewhere else, I just log in really quick just to kind of get my login bonus every day. They need to open that. But, I mean, there's a lot of good games for it. This is the thing. I've got some games for it. And there's a lot of free games, too. There's a lot of free-to-play games on the Vita, too. It's a very underrated console, and it's got a lot of apps, too. Like, it's got email on it, I want to say. You know, stuff like that. I know no one's going to use it, but, I mean, it's there, just in case. Yeah, I just
something utterly bizarre. I was at a comic convention near me, and I saw people. Actually, a couple of people actually walking around taking photos with the Vita.
There you go.
Like, yeah. Okay, I mean, I've got a phone in your pocket that takes far better pictures.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot it has a camera on it, but it totally has a camera on it. Yeah, and there's one thing I don't understand, and there's an app called Nia on it. I don't understand what that does, but I think the Vita is very underrated. But I mean, I honestly think Sony should get out of the handheld because business. They're not Nintendo, you know. They've just not got that killer. It seems they're not like that killer app, it seems.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It even took Nintendo a long time to get some traction with the 3DS, considering how massively successful the DS was. When the 3DS came out, that was really slow going until the 3DS XL. And now the 2DS and Pokemon.
It was the price drop.
The price drop is what... Yeah, that's what affected that, the price drop. Nobody wanted to drop $350 on it, and once the price dropped to something a little bit better. See, despite what anybody says, the economy over here in the States still sucks. And with Nintendo producing these devices that are $300, $400, and $500 that they're going to give to their kids, and the kids are going to walk around and drop it God knows how many times without putting it in a case, and there's going to be no protection on it, eventually that's going to wear out. And parents a lot of times cannot justify that kind of cash to put toward a device that's going to be quote-unquote disposable in that
sense.
Plus,
I think
sense.
It was 3D. 3D without glasses, it was still new.
The 3D threw off a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never used the 3D on mine, and I've been playing so much Link Between Worlds recently, but I still very, very, very rarely use the 3D. I'll turn it on to go, yeah, it looks quite good, and then turn it off.
See, that's the thing with Nintendo. Nintendo has, no matter what, you know, we can bash Nintendo as well, but the thing is, Nintendo has that charm. They have Mario, they have Pokemon, they have Zelda, they have all these franchises that people recognize. Yes, they're probably the same game all the time, but people recognize it. That's the thing. There's no games on the Vita that people, like, kind of recognize. Yeah, Little Big Planet's out there, you know, but Little Big Planet, even a lot of people don't, you know, what's that? You know, it's not like a name like Mario, because Little Big Planet's still new. It's not been around for, you know. Uncharted's on there, though, but there's only been one. So where's, you know,
one,
where are the others?
One Uncharted game and then that card game, which was okay, but it's a card game, so it's not everyone's cup of tea.
You know what's perfect for the Vita? This is it Hearthstone? Am I saying that? These card type of games.
The Blizzard card game.
Perfect. That would be perfect on the Vita. Tekken card would. Why don't they put that on there? That'd be awesome. You know, they need these killer apps. And I also think the proprietary memory cards are ridiculous. Yeah. You know, I just think, like, for 64 gig, it's like $100. Really? Why can't you just put in an SD card slot? And I want to say, I've got the first version of the Vita. Even their charging, they've changed it to a micro USB now. But before, on the Vita I've got, it's a proprietary cable. Come on, are you kidding me?
There's a lot of instances, and while you guys were talking, I was doing a little bit of looking here. Google came to my rescue to answer a couple questions. There's less than 50 various applications for the PS Vita that one can download and install on their respective devices, ranging anywhere from video streaming all the way up to Skype. And just browsing through some of these applications that they have available, some are free, others are not. Others, they require a subscription service. So, like, if you subscribe to NHL through a cable provider, then you would be able to access that content remotely. The thing that disturbs me, and the flip side of this, when I recall many years, well, not many years ago, when the PS Vita first came out, many people that I came in contact with hated it. I mean, just when you introduce proprietary anything into an ecosystem, you are destining yourself for failure. The exception to that rule is Apple.
Yeah.
All right. PlayStation, when it came to their PS2, PS3, PS4, even their original PlayStation, where the original PlayStation and the PS2 had their proprietary memory chips, their storage cards. But then USB started making a great big push, and everybody could grab their USB keys and plug them into their PlayStations and their Xboxes and do backups that way. Well, then the PS Vita comes out. Guess what? You can't use any old USB stick. You have to use a USB stick that is designed by us, for us, and this is the only thing you can use it on. So you can't take that save information and even plug it into your PlayStation 4 to move on, you know, or perhaps load a profile or anything of that nature. I think that's one thing that killed them. Because
yeah, why can't they just gone with
Sony's problem for a long time was
yes, that is exactly
iTunes.
Yeah, remember memory stick?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
D discs.
Yeah, mini disc. Yeah,
mini disc. Well, mini disc. Now, hold on. Magic stick and mini disc, in their own right, depending on what you did, they had a purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. I owned both formats, and I put both formats to great use. I was able to get a lot of functionality out of both of those formats. Proprietary USB sticks, sorry, that's an immediate no sale to me. Why? Because I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 16, 20, 64 gig USB sticks that I can interchange everywhere. And if I got to go out and spend $30 on a 4 gig USB stick that I can only use on one device, sorry, you know.
Forget it.
I'll echo what Obi said concerning, you know, they need more games and see, you know, and also I'll support that with that, you know, with mobile gaming in the Android, in the iOS, even the Microsoft space, stepping up a little bit, okay, on the mobile phones, on tablets, on Surface, on iPad, you name it. With the advancements that those are making, where, you know, what's left for the Vita? You know, I mean, I look at this and say, you know, the Vita never really, we've all had our laughs about it, all the way up from listening to Jason Rivera go coastal on the designers and releasers, all the way to the other end of the spectrum when our good buddy A.H. Walker took one and sat on it. You know, I mean, we've all poked fun about it, but
the thing is, though, this is the frustrating part. The thing's got potential. It really has.
Wii U, Obi.
It's got so much potential. Like, they could port so many things, like so many good uses for this thing, but I just think it's become like the PSP, you know, like. Because I remember people buying the original PSP just to hack the thing.
Right.
And I think this is where, I think this is the Vita now. I think it's a shame because it is comfortable to hold. And I think it's only saving grace right now. It's got physical buttons, whereas iOS does those games don't.
Yeah, it's all touchscreen, right.
So, I mean, you know, they've released a new one. They've released a slimline model. It does use non-proprietary charging thing. It does use a micro USB. That is good to see. I wish they'd get rid of the stupid memory card thing, but I mean, we're just wishing here.
Is the PS Vita still compatible with UMD discs?
No.
It is not. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing too. It takes out. Yeah, is there different chips now? Yeah, it takes different cards now.
Huh. So it looks like, I mean, I've never handled a PS Vita.
One thing I want to say. I want to say one thing real quick. Today, when I did this remote play, though, I can totally play PS1 games on my PS Vita from my, and it's streaming from my PlayStation 3. How cool is that?
Wow.
So I can sit here and play MGS1 or whatever game.
Complete backwards compatibility. Nice.
Yeah, and it's BC with PSP games, because I do have a PSP game on there. I have Tekken 6 on there. So, like, the thing's got potential. It really has. I mean, for when it works, it works. Go ahead, PK.
See, the Vita, as you said before, the Vita and the Wii U, both systems that have got a crap load of potential, but I think what's going to save the Wii U and what's going to kill the Vita is that I've seen so many people since E3 have gone, oh, did you see that new Zelda game? Did you see Smash Brothers? Did you see this? There's loads of stuff coming out on the Wii U that will save it eventually. Barely even mentioned it in their own press conference at E3.
So the franchises are what's going to save it then?
Yeah,
for the Wii U,
I think so.
Yeah.
For the Wii U side of things.
Now, on a flip side of this, gentlemen.
Uphill battle.
No, right. Mario Kart saved them for a while.
They still do. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
It's a brand name at this point.
Yeah, it's a household. It's been around for so many years, and it gives kids the opportunity to play with their parents, you know, no matter what skill level. You know, and it gives them that opportunity. So, considering the Wii U, or I'm sorry, not the Wii U, the PS Vita, gentlemen, let me present this to you. PK, I'm going to start this on your end because it was your article. What if, big thing over here, actually globally, when it comes to mobile operating systems, is developer editions. Opening the device up and the operating system up to where people can develop for it and customize it and make it do something that it might not be actually intended to do. Would a, lack of a better term, developer edition, or perhaps a custom Vita, or perhaps even a Vita that can be easily hacked, okay, because right now everybody I know who's got either a Vita or a PSP, they've got it hacked and it's doing things that it's not supposed to do, okay? So if PlayStation were to come down and they were to unlock all their devices and say, okay, developers, jump in here and have at it, would that perhaps breathe new life into the PS Vita?
I think it would, definitely. I also think that if Sony took a similar stance to Microsoft when it came to smaller developers self-publishing on their platform, like, for example, that would be another big thing, because then instead of having to go through all the certification process, it would cut out a lot of that. And like Apple, like obviously the App Store makes a lot of money and there's a lot of apps on there. Mm-hmm. But you still got to get through Apple's vetting process to even get on there. Xbox One, people can now self-publish. Whereas, and the same on the actual, if Sony adopted the same stance, then they have less issues with that, because all these indie developers that are trying to work with Sony could then go, in fact, yeah, we'll just put it out like next week, so you'll have a bigger influx of games with physical buttons, so it gives you an advantage over playing a game on your phone. And if you could get more access to the system to do other things, not just games, but actual applications, that would keep, especially on the techie side of things, keep people happy.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely Sony's best interest to do it.
I think that would be a good direction for it to go. Obi-Wan, same question. Developer edition for the PSP, PlayStation Vita.
As long as it said jailbroken on the back or something. No. or Cyanogen mod or something.
Cyanogen mod. So you're talking a complete remake is what you're talking. If you're talking like jailbreak or Cyanogen mod or something like that, you're talking a complete redesign.
Yeah, let's talk about a redesign. But no, I mean, yeah, if they was to open it, obviously, you know, for the version me and PK have, yeah, you know, as well as the, because I know there's another model of it, a slim model now, apparently. And by the way, my Vita wasn't brand new and I bought mine pre-owned or second-hand, so even I didn't want to spend the money to buy a brand new one. By the way, I want to say this as well. There's one feature we didn't talk on, and I want to mention this real quick.
Sure.
There's augmented reality games on there, too.
Uh-huh. Yes, there is.
Yeah, again, that has potential. Yeah, I think a developer edition or kind of like a, let people do what they want edition would be great, because then they can really open this whole remote play thing up. They could, play any game on it, because this is what I really want. And it might just sound like I want to use it for that, but I really do, because, again, I can't be physically near my PS3, and if I could just play any game on there from wherever, I think that would be fantastic. I think, let's have at it. Let people do, make apps for it and whatever, not too much, because obviously you don't want people to make any malicious apps for it, but a developer edition would be great.
Now, just on the flip side of this, as you guys were talking, I was once again calling Google to my aid, and there are many emulators, actually, that are out there on the webs concerning that are designed for the PS Vita, among which emulators for Windows 7 and 8, as well as walkthroughs. There are multiple mod chips, Vita ROMs, as well as chips, and an iOS emulation package. Okay, so it looks like there's been a lot of people doing some behind-the-scenes work on this device.
A lot of tomfoolery.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But the flip side to that, though, I think that they would be very good, very well served to put this in like a Cyanogen mod. Make like a PS Vita emulator to put on an Android device or an iOS device, or perhaps they tried the Sony phone at one point in time. Maybe it was ahead of its time. Maybe try it again and see what happens.
Do you remember that phone, that Sony Ericsson
Sony phone?
Yeah, it flipped down and it had the D-pad and
It was a two-part slider.
Great. It looked fantastic.
There it is. Sony PS phone is what it's called. And, I mean, it looked good. It looked good. It reminded me of the old HTC Pros, the sliders where you could adjust the screen and stuff like that. And it could, in my opinion, once again, this is just because I've been dealing with this for years in mobile tech. In my opinion, people aren't looking for another device to throw in their attaché case or their backpack or their briefcase or whatever, okay? They're not looking for their phone, their tablet, and their handheld gaming system, okay?
It's all done on your phone now.
Yeah, it's all done on your phone and your tablet. I mean, I would just assume, and once again, I'm not a Vita owner, but I would just as soon be able to play the game on my Note 2 or my Nexus 7, okay, instead of having to worry about throwing my Vita in my bag and moving on.
I just don't see the Vita as, I like to call it as a two-minute pick-up-and-play device. Like, you're standing in a line at Starbucks. You can easily just pull your phone out because you got it on you anyway, and you can have a one game of Tekken Khan.
Right. Exactly.
The Vita's not designed for that, because the Vita, you've got to go in there, you've got to boot up the game. If you've not got it booted up already, that can take a couple of minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just not that kind of device. I think it's a device for planes more. If you're going on plane or train, I don't think it's a
handheld gaming. Handheld gaming.
It's not a queue. It's not a queue device as well. Like, you're standing in a queue for something.
By the way, Obi. By the way, before we get too far, damn you for getting me hooked on Tekken Card.
Yeah, it's a great game.
All right. Final thoughts concerning the PS Vita, PK? Anything of that nature? It was your article.
I think one thing I will say as well, I think the Vita's big problem is the same thing that happened with the PSP. Sony tried to push it as the console experience in your hand, and it's the completely wrong market point to have. The reason why the 3DS and the consoles like that are working is because their games are designed for short, quick pick-up-and-play sessions. Like, obviously, as I said, I've been playing Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds. It is a big game. You're talking good 20, 30 hours if I wanted to really, really delve deep. But the way the game's designed, I can just save any time I want. I can play 5 minutes, get to a weather vane, save it quick, close it down, and away I go. And the Vita games aren't really designed for that. Like, the Uncharted game especially was... You're investing some serious time into playing it, so I agree 100% with Obi on that point. It's not like a commuter's machine, whereas your iPad, your phone, your 3DS all are.
But when it works, it works. Like, cross-buy, that's a thing. If you buy your game on PS3, you'll get the download for your PS Vita. Cross-save is another feature they've got. That actually works.
I use that all the time.
Yeah. See, features like that actually really do work well. They don't implement them very well. That's the problem. They don't execute them. I want to say something about the future. I hope Sony don't release another handheld, because, to be honest, at this point, I think it'll be a waste of time and a waste of resources.
Do you think that anybody outside of the Android, iOS, and Windows mobile market has a stance in handheld?
Funny you should say that. Nvidia's gonna get into this.
The new Shield line has come out, and it is getting great reviews. Great reviews.
Might have potential.
PK, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Nvidia Shield is that sounds like it's gonna be the way forward, because it's an Android based operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So you can download Android games and play them directly on the device, and then if you've got a particular Nvidia graphics card, you can also stream the games from your computer directly to the handheld when you are at home. So I think Nvidia have really got the head screwed on. The only thing I don't like about the Shield product line is the price point is a bit high.
It is a little steep, It is a little steep.
But other than that, I think the technology behind it is great, and Nvidia are smart enough not to do a Sony and to actually publicise those features, whereas half the stuff the Vita and that can do, no one knows about because Sony never talk about it.
Right. Obi, I apologize. I may have cut you off prematurely.
It's
was
fine.
There something else you needed on
no,
your...
No, I was pretty much done. I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, this time next year, I hope we don't see another Vita 2 or whatever they call it, because I just leave it to the other guys and let them concentrate on the PS5 or whatever they're going to do.
The next big console, I think, is...
I think the next big thing for Sony, and by the way, my prediction for E3 was kind of right with the whole PSV TV thing.
The virtual TV,
That was it wasn't spot on, but it was pretty much.
We had a post E3 show with Brian from Tunes welcoming him back to the network, and I apologize you couldn't be part of that. But the Sony, I think, really took the spotlight in that one. Just in the fact that they had the bigger presence. I was not upset at the lack of hardware. And many of the people on the call kind of seconded the notion that people were just hardwared out from last year.
I think Microsoft had a good one too, though. I mean, they didn't talk about TV.
Right.
They showed it was games. I mean, literally, there was games here on there that I wasn't interested, but for other people, there was just games there. That was really good to see. And I think it was Microsoft even came out and said, I hope they were gracious enough to say, I hope Sony and Nintendo have a good conference too.
Yeah.
I think that was a good thing.
They kind of said we screwed up without actually saying we screwed up.
Yeah. Sony came out and poked fun at Microsoft as well. I don't think that was fair. But, I mean, Sony had some good stuff there. They had Mortal Kombat X, which looked really good. Little Big Planet 3. Mm-hmm. They had there, which I thought looked really good.
Right.
Sony had a good show in too. I just think this what was that PS Vita TV is going to be their future or replacement for the Vita. I think that's going to be their new PlayStation Now box. Streaming is they're going to be their big thing for next year, I think.
PK, you have thoughts concerning E3, PS Vita TV being the next big thing, advancements, showings on Sony, where they might go, considering E3 looked like, Obi and I, we kind of differ on this, but I think PlayStation kind of took the cake at E3. Any thoughts that you might have that you'd like to share with everybody?
I personally, from E3, was more excited with what Microsoft had in the pipeline, just because it was so focused on the games. And my game of the show for E3, I actually, in my head, I gave down to Sunset Overdrive. I think that game looks like a lot of fun. It's exclusive to Xbox One. That's a big thing for Microsoft to make, to lock that one up, because it's Insomniac, and obviously they're previously known for being a Sony developer. And I thought E3 in general was very positive. Nintendo genuinely really surprised me with how strong their showing was, mm-hmm. like with Warriors and the new open world Zelda and all these games that they showed off that I'm genuinely intrigued by, and that's actually tempting me to get a Wii U. And if someone had told me 6 months ago that I'd be considering getting Wii U, would have told them they were silly.
You're out of your mind.
But I thought everyone had genuinely really good showings this time round. But I'm having an Xbox One as well. I'm excited about what's coming out, and I think my only gripe with E3 was everything was 2015. Spring 2015. Yeah. It's like, what about this Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Creed, but what else?
Well, the thing to think about, though, yeah, sure, they're announcing stuff for spring 2015. That means something is going to happen for Christmas season this year.
Well,
I don't know
what,
but it's going to be something, right?
You got your Madden.
You got that Madden. Yeah, let me take that Madden right up the ass with the Vita.
Call of Duty is in November. And WWE, they've got their game coming out.
I'm sorry, guys, but Call of Duty, I think that's about played out. To be completely honest, people that I've talked to, diehard gamers, when they got Ghost, many people are playing Modern Warfare 3. They're not stepping up to Ghost. They went out and they bought it. They played it for a week, said they didn't like it.
I never was a fan. But, I mean, you got Destiny coming out this year.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Got that. So there's a lot coming out this year.
What is PK?
Destiny in September is a big one, especially with the beta going so well and there being very, very little technical issues with the beta, which has been really nice to see.
Well, the betas, though, the thing about betas is they're designed to the betas are designed to do and get all the crap out of it that needs to be gotten out of it. So
it's a stress test, man.
It's a stress test, yeah. So, I mean, having a beta that goes across well, I think, is a really good thing.
Are people still talking about Titanfall, though? I mean, I've not heard anything about it. I mean, everyone was making a big fuss about it. I know we did that show.
Yeah. We've done our show with Titanfall. PK, you're a Titanfall player, aren't you?
I was. I played it for a couple of months when it came out,
There's the key words right there, a couple of months.
Yeah, I've not really played it much since. I'm not really a massive online first-person shooter player anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there is things lack of any sort of single-player content.
This is why Destiny doesn't interest me. It's just, to me, I'm not hating on it or anything. I mean, each to their own, but I'm just not a first-person guy.
Yeah, I'm not a first-person shooter guy either. I just, you know, I am an avid paintballer. I'd said it, I don't know how many times. You take that gun out of my hand, put a controller in there, it just doesn't feel the same, you know. And
I wish it well, but I mean, it's just not for me.
I think first, don't get me wrong, first-person shooters are a lot of fun to watch, and some people really like playing them. My son likes playing them. My wife likes playing them, all right? I enjoy sitting watching them play. And there's going to be that group of people that are always going to like first-person shooters. But I think at the same time, there's going to be also that portion of people that the first-person genre is going to fade. I mean, if you think all the FPS games that are out there, Halo, huge for the proprietary market camp, or proprietary Microsoft camp. Call of Duty goes through all Microsoft and PlayStation. Titanfall. That'll go back and forth. You know, a lot of these first-person shooters, they go cross-platform, and more people are going cross-platform with that as well. So, with this in mind, I haven't even gotten to my article yet. It's sitting here pulled up. I haven't got into it yet. With this in mind, gentlemen, where does the first-person shooter genre go next? We've seen it evolve. We've seen it change. Even all the way back from the days of the GameCube. And I remember playing Metroid on the GameCube, which was a first-person shooter heads-up display, which was a task to get used to. I will say that, okay? Being an avid Metroid fan, though, I played it and I enjoyed it. So as games continue to change and continue to evolve, what is next for the first-person shooter genre?
I've got a perfect answer for this.
And I will listen to it.
I've been saving this because there's one more piece of thing that Sony've got in their future, and that's Project Morpheus.
Ooh.
Been saving that one. And I think Sony, they've got this streaming thing, you know, like, as we mentioned, they've got this Project Morpheus or whatever they're going to call it, the virtual reality headset. I think they're saving that, you know. I think they're really gonna. From what I've heard on other podcasts, independent podcasts, by the way, they're loving this Project Morpheus.
Okay,
they're digging it, really digging it.
So since you went there, we're gonna go ahead and spin the dial back just a little bit. Project Morpheus plus PS Vita.
Everyone forgot about Project Morpheus, didn't they?
Not really forgot about it. We're just waiting for it to hit the shelf, I think.
But I think that is their future. I really do. I think Sony got so much up the sleeve right now.
So do you think Project Morpheus plus PS Vita equals success?
Vita, no. Nope. I mean, the streaming thing, maybe. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to put that $100 down and going to stream. I mean that's going to be a big thing. But Morpheus though, I think that's going to be the next thing for them, especially for this FPS genre.
Right.
I think I think this is going to be a real big big thing. I mean, I'm not on board with it myself, not yet. I just don't know where it's going to go because we've got other players. We don't know what Microsoft's going to do. We don't know what Oculus Rift is going to do. I think for me, I think it's just a wait and see game. But I think that's where the first person genre is going to go, like VR, to be honest.
PK Punk, we've had conversations, I don't know how many times, that FPS isn't really your, for lack of a better term, cup of tea. But yet, I know that you like the first person genre. So to that end, where do you see first-person genre going next, whether it be Morpheus or whether it be Oculus Rift or whether it be even if we turn the clock back a year or two where Microsoft was discussing this Luma Room? what is next for the first-person shooter?
Personally, I think what's next for the first-person shooter is a devolution of the first-person shooter and
devolution.
A lot of them going back to the old-school way of no regenerating health, longer single-player campaigns, having to actually play these games intelligently, going back to that original like Doom and Quake sort of model that you saw it already with Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein, your health only regenerates slightly. You're still dependent on armor and health packs, and it did improve the game for them. Doing the exact same thing, the new Doom's going even harsher in that line. I think that's going to become the next big thing, because Halo, obviously, when that came out, regenerating health then went into everything.
Yeah, I remember playing Wolfenstein on a LAN party, and there were 20 of us in just different offices playing Wolfenstein, and even when you're playing a LAN, the reality of that, you know, just realizing that once your health bar is gone, you're gone. There, you know, there's no coming back to life. You know, if they're on a 10-minute campaign and you die 2 minutes in, guess what? You're watching. You know, I could respect that. I could see, you know, bringing the challenge, you know, where everybody gets so used to the team deathmatch, the respawn, the, you know, 10 minutes of hard play. You know, and if you get hit, no big deal. You can come back to life at a random point or a respawn point or whatever. Then you go back out and you shoot up some more people, and it's played on points. But if you introduce a new skill factor to it, I think, is that where you're heading with this, PK, was a skill factor?
Yeah, definitely, because like, if you think about it with the way the first-person shooters are now, take Call of Duty as an example. Finishing Call of Duty on veteran difficulty is not that much of a challenge anymore, because as soon as you get into trouble, you can duck behind something, wait for 30 seconds, and your health's back to full, and then you can carry on. So as long as you're slow and methodical, you can make it through those levels. Whereas if you put the new Wolfenstein on the hardest difficulty level, that's a completely new level of challenge altogether. And I think as well, you've seen that with the likes of games like Dark Souls and Demon Souls and Shovel Knight and these like games that have gone back to old school difficulty level, where a game is a challenge and it's a genuinely rewarding experience when you finish it. I think that's where first person shooters are going, and I think it's a really good thing, because it got stale, and as soon as a big game comes out with that sort of challenge and with those systems in place where like you have to have health packs on, and it's not health packs that you keep in your reserve and then you can use them at any time. It's you pick up the health and that's it, you've picked it up. I think that's going to be really good. If Wolfenstein did a really good job of it, I think if Doom pulls it off, that'll show that the two like godfathers of the first person shooter genre can do it, and I think everyone's then
going to start
following.
I believe that both of those options, both of those opinions, whether it be the Project Morpheus, Oculus VR, etc., as well as the devolution, increasing the skill level in the FPS genre, I think both of those would be valid arguments.
See, I would have said devolution. If I knew about FPS games, just saying.
Right. No. I think both of those would be valid arguments. I think a lot of people, nobody wants to die. Okay, there's not many people that you're going to run into and say, "Oh yeah, I'm ready to log onto the server and get my ass handed to me." You know, I mean, you just don't hear it. I don't care who or what skill level you're at. People want to win and have that sense of accomplishment. They don't want to be eliminated 2 minutes in, 3 minutes in on a 10-minute death match, and then have to sit and watch in a third-person setting while everybody else, who's at a higher skill level than they are kicking butt.
Yeah. It just goes to show, though, how diverse the gamers are on who come on this show, whereas, you know, PK, he knows more about first-person, you're about the mobile gaming.
Right.
I'm more about, like, you know, fighting game, you know, stuff like that. Pook's about, you know, the retro stuff, and he knows all about that. So it just goes to show how, you know, how different we are and how much we know.
Right.
Just from that conversation, you know. There's... So we bring, you know, that's good, because I hear a lot of podcasts where they know everything about everything, or, you know, they don't know enough about fighting games, for example, and stuff like that. So it's good that we can get these diverse people on.
It's an advancement, is what it is. And it's a challenge. It's one of those things that forces us to be patient, sit back and wait and see what is going to happen. And I think that both of those, you know, as first-person shooters general continue to move forward, I think both of those ideas will be something that we could look and watch with interest and see exactly just what's going to happen on the end run. We're getting close to the hour mark, gentlemen, and I wanted to go ahead and jump into this because I know this affects both of you, whether it be directly or indirectly. Google, last week, story dated July 25, they came forward and said, hey, guess what, everybody, look, Twitch TV, as you know it, is going to be under the Google umbrella. They went forward in a variety, in a article that initially started this past May, that they were discussing, that Google was discussing to purchase Twitch as its an entity. Now, Twitch TV means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. In the computer industry, it means one thing. In the gaming industry, it means another. In mobile tech, it means something else. Even if you go in the gaming industry trunk and take that a little bit further, the Microsoft camp is different from the PlayStation camp, even to the Nintendo camp, as well as PC gaming. So to this end, gentlemen, Twitch TV being pulled under the Google umbrella, do we by chance see an incorporation to the Android operating system when it comes to mobile gaming, or perhaps maybe Android becoming more dominant in the Microsoft or PlayStation camps? Obi, you first.
Well, I wouldn't want to watch someone play an Android game. I have watched Twitch. I've watched one stream. I watched one guy on it. And, you know, Twitch seems fine. You can stream from the new consoles to it now. Now, I've not done it myself, but it's possible. Google buying it, though. This discussion came up with someone the other day. I don't know how I feel about it, because you know how you on YouTube you got the AdSense and all that? If they can bring all the AdSense across, because as far as I know, on Twitch, they're not making much people. All these streamers are not making much money on it, as far as ads go. So if Google can bring all the AdSense stuff over, that'll be good. But if you go back to YouTube, Google likes to mess with the look of it. Now, I just, if they do that with Twitch and just keep messing with it, the look of it and the feel of it, I don't think people are going to like it, to be honest. And Google kind of, doesn't this have to go through a process of like, of a board? And because, let's be honest, Google pretty much owns the Google owns the monopoly on streaming video. You know, there's no one else out there, so, you know.
Okay. PK, what about you? Twitch TV going under the Google umbrella?
I think, what I hope will happen is Google will leave Twitch as it is, and they will actually let it off function and carry on going, but they will just try and, like, add stuff like the AdSense to make it more worthwhile for people to stream to it. Because I say I've done it a couple of times off my Xbox One. Nothing too extravagant. And it works quite well. But there is a lot of people that make a good living from streaming onto Twitch and then dumping that content over to YouTube to get the ad revenue on it. Cut out that other step and just have it on Twitch. And that will save a lot of the hassle. But because as well, Twitch accounts for a lot of viewership. They had, I think some figures I've just looked up as Obi's been talking, they had 45 million users watching the space of a month for over 13 billion minutes.
Wow.
that's a lot. That's quite a bit.
Some of these streamers that will go online and they'll have 200,000 people watching them play a game.
Well, people are not even, like, people, because remember that whole Playroom thing?
Playroom.
On the PS?
There was the Playroom, and then there was the Tech Room, and then there was another one. It was like an oversized IRC chat is what it was.
Yeah, well, people now, they're not just doing gaming, they're doing, like, independent broadcasting, talking about gaming, like, they're doing video podcasting on there, like, they're using the PS4 camera to stream. Obviously, when it first came out, people were doing all sorts of other things they're not supposed to. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind watching, you know, like a video, like people talking about gaming and stuff, like on video form, and if they've got, like, videos to show of a gaming show, because we don't have that anymore.
But we have that on YouTube, Obi. I can, you give me a game, and I can pull up a walkthrough on YouTube, ranging anywhere from that's Angry Birds to Mario Kart.
But it's not a show like we're doing now, like them discussing like news or bloody bloody blah. It's not like that. You know, they walkthroughs on essentially on YouTube. These other people, they were literally broadcasting on Twitch and talking about gaming. You know, that'd be cool to watch. Because to be honest, I've kind of got out of watching other people play games now. I think it's got a bit stale. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I think Let's Plays has definitely been overkilled. There's so many Let's Play people out there. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them are very, very good at what they do. Like, Darkside Phil's very good at what he does, and Dan's Gaming is really good, and Jim Sterling's good when he does his run-throughs and things. But there's far too many of them, and everyone, especially with the consoles being able to stream now, that's the other thing, is there is an overkill factor, because if you look on Twitch, there's so many people that are just sat there, dead silent, staring at the screen, playing the game. They're not doing any sort of commentary, they're not talking, they're not looking at the chat window, they're not doing anything, but just because, they're just doing it because they can, because the console's able to do it, not because they actually want to try and put good content out. I think that's the worry. If Google wants to really grow it, how much more of that sort of mentality will get brought in?
I think Twitch would be best served in this case if the ability were to be sucked into and coordinated with YouTube. Frankly, I haven't watched anything on Twitch TV for a very long time. It's been at least a year for me.
Well, there's YouTube Live. They've had that going for a while now.
I much prefer YouTube Live myself. I prefer it, YouTube On Air is what I use. Most of the content that I'm looking for, I can find a lot easier and access it a lot better and a lot different formats through YouTube On Air.
How much did they pay for this?
Tech Giant participated in a $35 million funding round.
Was it a billion?
No, I'm sorry. More than a billion, sorry. $1 billion. One with a B, yes.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
But I think it's not like the Let's Play stuff being a bit played out now, and like some of the bigger names are legitimately not just making a comfortable living off it, they're getting rich off it. Like PewDiePie as an example.
He's the number one. He's the number one guy. He's the number one Let's Player.
Yeah, 27 million subscribers, and $4 million a year in ad revenue alone.
Well, yeah, because you're getting all the hits on your channel. I mean, when you build up a reputation and a following, and you get people that are coming to expect that, you know, hey, if you have a question about this, send it to me, and they send it to him, and he follows through with the solution.
I have never watched PewDiePie.
I haven't either, okay? I haven't either. But I'm just saying, if you have an individual out there where, you know, if you have a question.
Who is watching PewDiePie, PK? It's got to be the kids.
It's got to be.
It's not us. We're grown-ass men. I'm watching Darkside Phil.
It's random American teenagers who think he's a funny, quirky guy from Scandinavia, basically.
Definitely a funny, quirky guy, that's for sure.
But they're making him a lot of money.
I'm saying it right now. People watch Darkside Phil, and that's side with a Y. He's the little guy. He's the most honest person on the internet, and he does a wrestling show as well. So there you go.
Okay, gentlemen, I believe that we violated the hour. I do appreciate you hanging out with me late on a Sunday night. And I'm fully aware that the two of you have Monday duties to tend to. So I'm going to go ahead and put a lid on this one. I'm going to toss it over first to PK Punk. Final thoughts, plugs, shout-outs, etc. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much for listening. I am on Twitter. It's PK_BWC. BWC stands for my current wrestling podcast venture, which is Brit Rest Chat. We talk about what's going on in the UK indie scene, and also we started expanding a little bit more, doing a couple of different type of shows. We've got the Gaijin View, which we try and time with big New Japan events and or Pro Wrestling Noah, and just talk about the Japanese side of wrestling. Hopefully going to try and do one after the G1 tournament finishes, which is ongoing at the moment, and it's been excellent so far. That's where you can find me at the moment. The podcast is available on BritRestBlog.co.uk or search for BritRest Chat in iTunes. That's everything for me. I'll a big shout out to Fat Ninja who's a really good friend of mine, and hopefully he'll come back into the video game podcast arena soon.
Hear to that one. Hear. OB, I'm going to toss this over to you. Final thoughts, plugs, shout-outs, sir.
Yeah, it was another good episode. I've only missed one so far, but hopefully won't miss any more. But, Pook Ninja was supposed to be on here.
We'll get him on the next one. I mean, yeah. Sunday evenings can be hard for a lot of people, especially over here in the States, because they're getting ready, you know, they're getting in the last of their family time before the Monday drag starts over again and all that kind of craziness.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just, it acts differently with some people, but we'll get him back on. I mean, yeah, but, I really enjoy his perspectives on a lot of different things. And yeah,
he brings the craziness, no doubt,
that
to the show.
That is for sure. That is for sure.
And, if Poot Ninja's listening to this, yeah, call me sometime.
Call me.
Give me a call. Yeah. Because, you know, me and him do a show. You know, just in case no one knows, we do a couple of shows time to time. We do some show called Talking Some Shit, totally unscripted like this, and just us talking shit about everything and anything pretty much. And we do Retro Dojo, and I guess it's because he's been busy over the summer, so he's not been around. So
right.
You know, that's cool. But yeah, you can find that at PoopNinja. Oh God, what is it?
Poopninja.podomatic.com.
There you go. This is why it's good, Joe. You got a good memory, Piper, because I fucking forgot.
I have everybody's RSS feeds programmed, so I know where everybody's at. So,
but you know what? I was telling Pook on Facebook the other day, actually, that you know, I like listening to current shows where the current news is current. But I gotta admit, those Retro Dojos are pretty timeless.
They hold something special to everybody that was in that
Not to
decade.
Toot my own horn or anything, but they're pretty timeless. Not. And we're still going to do the MGS one. We're still going to do it when we get back together and start doing them again. But yeah, we really got to do MGS because is a big passion of mine. On Twitter you can catch me on there. It's Obi-Wan Jabroni with an E at the end, not an I. Raptor as well. Yeah, Raptor. That's all my game stuff. It's got Raptor. All my RAPTR.com and my username. Pretty much, it's got all my gamertag and whatever on there. So
sure, absolutely. Yep. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Piper the DJ, right here. This was Game Face. This was Episode 7, and it is right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you're checking out every day, because we got lots of neat stuff going on. We've got the Spanish Announce Table. We've got Old School at the Movies. We've got the Wayback Throwback. And Tunes is returning. Just make sure you're checking in every day, because you never know what is going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the gamer scene, I am Piper the DJ, giving you the other side of the gaming console. Good night.